post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there.
Hi and welcome to the near post. I am Nick Ames, and with me in the studio is my other Nick compatriot here, and Gerald, the new the return of Gerald, shall we say.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Yep, nice to be back.
Nick, other Nick, how's things?
Yeah, it's better. It's a little bit different sitting on the other side in place of Patty, who's not here for the moment. We're trying to sort out his contract negotiations. He's looking to move ships, shall we say.
Well, Nick, you look like you're enjoying the power.
Well, I was going to say it's big shoes to fill, but Patty's not the tallest man in the world, so...
Watch it, he might be listening, Nick.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll be able to fill his pixie boots with aplomb for the rest of the show.
Okay. So, yes, we are on 2XXFM, and if you are listening at a later date, you're either on the Community Radio Network or the podcast, nearpost.blogspot.com, or on Halftime Heroes, as well as iTunes under the Near Post Football search.
So many different flavours of goodness.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out how to get it onto the Android market. Sorry, Patrick's mother. You're going to have to wait another week before that gets sorted out. Okay, as usual, we have a show dedication. First off, I'm going to give it to John Aloisi, who in his first game as a professional coach has won the Melbourne Derby against Postecoglou.
In impressive fashion as well. And they won 2-1. They had like three or four one-on-ones with the goalkeeper in the second half. Their press was extremely impressive.
And I think the opening of a new chapter in Aloisi's career. Let's hope his second part of his career is as successful as his first part.
Mm. You can't ask for a much better start to your coaching career than a win in the Melbourne Derby. Like,
well, there were some people who, me among them, who were concerned that he only had 12 months coaching experience since he finished his playing days, but very impressive debut.
In what will probably end up being one of the premier football events, I think. The Melbourne Derby has so much that it can offer Australian football, so long may it last.
Oh, how much fun. Like, just before we came on air, we were talking about it was just unique atmosphere Friday night. Loved it. I'm very keen to get down for the next Melbourne Derby.
And indeed, probably the type of football match that you'd like the rest of the world to see, to say, hey, listen, that's what happens down in Australia now. So in that sense, I've got a couple of friends of mine in the UK that saw some A-League fixtures a couple of seasons ago, and I'd love to send them over a copy of the game on Friday night, because I actually think there has been some great movement in the league over the last couple of seasons, so long may it last.
They may get a bit confused that it's not just the same two teams that win the title each year.
That's true.
Yes, that will be a bit confusing for them. The concept of a salary cap as well may boggle their minds. Mm. Anyways, as usual, we do have some news. We're going to switch over to Nick Senior for this one.
No problem. Thanks, Nick. So, Theas Slatcher has decided to call an end to her remarkable 14-year career with club and country. She represented Australia 51 times, scoring 3 goals, and captained the Matildas in 2 matches at the 2010 AFC Asian Cup. So, yeah, hats off to her.
Look, can I just butt in there a minute, Nick? Also, I'd just like to say that we actually have, as we know, in Canberra, for those that realise that we're actually coming out of the national capital, our football teams received an invitation from the Japanese Football Association through the week to attend the World Club Championship in November. And the World Club Championship is a reflection of what happens in the male side, where you actually get the best football club team in the world. Now, as much as the Africans and I think the South Americans don't have a home championship, the Canberra United side will indeed be playing the top Japanese side as well as the top European team, which I'm not sure who it is.
I think it's either Arsenal or Lyon.
I think Arsenal beat Barcelona last week in a Champions League fixture.
And the top United States team. So good luck to them in November when they go over there. But once again, just a really outstanding example of just how big the game is when you can have a local side like Canberra United going all the way over to Japan to find out who the best club side in the world will be.
Mm, fantastic news. So, Socceroos goalkeeper Mark Schwarzer celebrated his 40th birthday weekend putting in a full shift for Fulham in their 2-2 draw. Is any signs of slowing down for our Socceroos mainstay?
No, and in other news, Adam Federici has been essentially dropped from Reading, so Schwartz's challenges continue to fall by the wayside.
I did see that. Alex McCarthy, he's yet to keep a clean sheet for Reading, so I'm hoping that Federici gets his opportunity again soon.
On a nicer note too, I also noticed that Scott McDonald had
he got a goal for Middlesbrough.
He actually scored for them. I think he's actually been out of the first team there for the last couple of months, so I understand that him and Tony Mowbray, is Middlesbrough manager, had a clear the air talk on the weekend, on Friday, and hence he's played and he scored.
I think the exact words Tony Mowbray asked him was to stop bringing national form back to us.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough. So, speaking of the national team, we've got over the weekend, we had John Cosmina call for Dario Vidicic to be recalled to the Socceroos lineup after his impressive goal. And also that Tommy Orr has stated he's looking forward to returning to the first team for the Socceroos after another impressive effort.
Yeah, he's been in a really good run of form for Utrecht. Whether he's going to be able to replicate it in a Socceroos jersey remains to be seen, but I'm all for giving him a go. Like, we're not really in a great run at the moment. We need to change things up.
No, desperately needed pace and youth for me.
What do you think, though? I understand that he's actually been shifted from playing up front in Holland to actually playing in the midfield. So it'd be really interesting to see how we play him in our side, just whether or not he actually stays out on the wing or whether or not he actually come inside.
I'd like to see Troisi get a run out on the wing and maybe just try Tommy Orr in that central role, maybe a little bit behind the striker. I'm not really sure what role exactly he's playing for Utrecht in the middle, but can't hurt to give him a go.
Mm. So, apparently Wellington Phoenix were looking at having a highly depleted squad for their game against Melbourne Heart this Saturday as seven players who were in their participated in their 2-0 win over Sydney will be missing for their round two trip as they'll be involved in World Cup qualifiers in the Oceania group.
The trials and tribulations of just having the one side that represents your country. Tough time.
Isn't that also they'd be missing their Solomon Islands striker as well?
Yes, that's right. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bit of a blessing and a curse for the Wellington Phoenix, obviously, having Ricky Herbert as your coach when you're trying to push for the same national team is a great bonus. But yeah, it's going to be continually testing for this. Once again, a really small Phoenix squad. They do have really good players. Like Paul Eiffel on the bench to start on the weekend, and they still managed to win pretty convincingly.
Their youngster, Lewis Fenton, right? After he scored that goal, I went and checked which country he's eligible for, and sadly it's New Zealand. It was an impressive goal.
Did you have a similar situation with Marco Rojas?
Oh, who also scored, but, yeah. You know, he's long been on my radar and frankly been disappointing, but was a good goal. Jason Kleiner actually made the news twice on the weekend, once in a positive way, as apparently negotiations have started with Sydney FC for a possible A-League contract, but for news I don't think that should have been reported, his recent purchase of a large Federation-style house in Western Sydney also somehow made the news.
Oh, why?
Well, why exactly?
Well, yeah, look, press in other countries for football tend to go into this sort of detail. So I think any media attention is good media attention, as long as they're not saying that he's stolen the house or, you know, built it on Aboriginal land. I don't really think it's going to be too much of an issue. Look,
I just think, why do we need to know this? I mean, he's probably not going to have disgruntled Newcastle Jets fans throwing toilet paper at the front door, but it's just unnecessary.
Tell me, was that Sydney Press?
It was Sydney
it
Press.
It was, yeah, okay. Right. Perhaps no more needs to be said.
Mm. So, that's it for the news this week, Nick.
Okay, so we'll just head into the recent round of matches. The long-awaited return of the A-League.
Long-awaited.
Yeah, and it started with the aforementioned Melbourne Derby on Friday night. And in a really electric atmosphere. It was a 2-1 win to the red side of Melbourne.
Yeah, big upset that one. Melbourne Victory heavily favoured beforehand, but the Heart scored early. Good reply from Melbourne Victory, but their pressing game was very impressive for me.
And there we are, dealing with a derby. That's the type of fixture you get. It's always nice to be able to think that what club's actually going to win it, but when you get stuck in like that for 90 minutes, and it was a rollicking affair. Very worthwhile watching that game.
What did we think about Marcus Flores' return to the A-League?
Oh, it was encouraging, obviously, but yeah, I think there's still a lot more to come from Flores. I think he's still adjusting to coming back. He's got to re-acclimatise to his new teammates and Postecoglou's system. Postecoglou's asking a lot more of him than what was being demanded at Adelaide, because we know how good he is.
I think you're spot on, Nick. I think we've got a lot more to come from him. He's an incredibly talented footballer in its early days, as it was. I think he was interviewed on the Sunday and said, look, I was absolutely buggered after about an hour. So, listen, when he gets himself match fit, yeah, I'd watch out.
Although he did say the same about Harry Kuehl, so...
Well, and whose second half of the season was fantastic last year. Amidst the chaos of Melbourne Victory's defending, he had a very good second half of the year.
I'm sorry, did I miss something? Harry who? Oh, sorry.
Speaking of upsets, Wellington Phoenix 2-0 against Sydney. Yeah.
Well, even though it was at home, we definitely expected Sydney FC to... we definitely expected Del Piero FC to run through the Phoenix side. However, it wasn't the case.
Wasn't the case, no. Didn't seem like that Del Piero was on the same page, same chapter, even the same book as his teammates a lot of the time.
I totally agree with you. I actually think he went out there with 10 strangers, and the team played like that. So hard to make any judgments on the side after that 90 minutes. Let's just wait and see.
Del Piero looked fit, though.
He has played a couple of friendlies with the squad, but that is a bit different to the full strength of an A-League game, where they're obviously going to be targeting him, and probably targeting him well. They've got some good defenders in that side, Wellington.
It's a joy to watch quick feet. You might not see the goals, and indeed he had a couple of shots that were a little bit off target, but just wonderful to watch the feet.
Speaking of feet, Shinji Ono's technical skills in the debut performance for the West Sydney Wanderers, drawing nil all for Central Coast, he's fantastic.
Absolutely right. You watch someone that's as gifted as that, and you're going to kick yourself to say, am I watching a sporting event here or real theatre? That man's wonderful to watch. There's something about the way he carries himself, his poise, his balance, just a joy to watch.
He was definitely a class above, and considering he only played, the last half hour of the match, imagine how much better he's going to be once he gets some full fitness under his belt, and more understanding with his teammates, of course.
So what about your Central Coast Mariners, Nick?
Well, as it was for the second half of last season after selling Matt Simon, our attack was really below par. Obviously, Mitchell Duke, pretty new to this A-League game, and then Rogic still trying to find his feet in the heart of the midfield, but yeah, it's still a lot of cutting edge missing from that Mariners attack. But as usual, the defence, in particular Matt Ryan, my hero, shall we say, was superb.
Swansdyke as well, back to usual form.
Yeah, hopefully Anderson / Sainsbury will step up into that Alex Pulkinson void over the course of the season, but at the moment we're not missing him too much.
Do you think they've had enough football to start the season?
Look, we have played a few friendlies. A couple have been missed due to various illness outbreaks and such, but we have played the Victory and the Raw in our pre-season, and I think we did get a hit out against Newcastle as well.
Yeah, another. You can play practice games, but there's nothing quite like the real thing. I think it'll take all the clubs a few weeks to settle in.
Well, indeed, that's a wonderful segue there, Nick, just to look at the way that Adelaide played, and indeed their battle-hardened
Adelaide United.
That was an extraordinary performance given their travel schedule.
Oh. Yeah. 33 hours, I think it was, to take him to get back from Bunyakaw to Newcastle for that game.
FFA did them no favours with a away game, in front of good crowd at Newcastle, 14,000 people. But speaking of disjointed, I think that summarised the ML Heskey's contribution.
Yeah, he did give Eugene Galekovic a bit of a taste of his own shoulder there, but apart from that, he was pretty underwhelming, I would have to say. They're expecting a lot of him. I did see quite a few fribbles, which isn't really Hesse's sort of game. I think once, you know, as we've said about the other marquees, once they get a bit more familiar with their teammates, being able to pick those runs, predict where they're going to go, where to play the ball, it's going to be a lot better.
And I think they'll have to watch out for becoming one-dimensional. I think Heskey is a fine player and still has a lot to contribute, particularly in this league. But I think if they end up playing to him the way they did on the weekend, very easy to combat.
Yeah. Well, apparently there was a major problem with the surface of the stadium, which is disappointing.
It's rather odd considering Newcastle didn't even feature in the later end of the NRL.
It's been 6 weeks since they've last had a game on it, so to have a poor surface is very disappointing.
Anyway, we'll go to the final match, right? The grudge match, shall we say, between Perth Glory and Brisbane Roar. And it was Paddy would be really disappointed not to be here to gloat right now. But
did people see the banner that got flown above the stadium?
It was something about planes flying over the stadium with diving lessons. Call 1300 Roar or something along those lines.
it was pretty funny. It was a pretty feisty game. There were a lot of people getting in each other's faces. Brisher was at the heart of it.
There was a few yellow cards dished out.
Yep.
I must say, I didn't watch the game from start to finish, and just caught the highlights. But as feisty as it was, do you think the referee did a good job controlling it?
Tough game to control. Yeah, hard to say. It was a well taken goal at the end. I actually thought it was heading for a draw, since neither team had quite been able to execute in the final third.
Yeah, considering Shane Smeltz is one of the most clinical finishers we've ever seen in the A-League, he was really, really off his game that day. The amount of chances they were creating were far too... Well, there should have been more than one, let's say.
Brisbane seemed a bit off as well. I thought Perth did a good job disrupting their game.
Well, they were the away team as well. But early days, but a wonderful start.
So good to have the A-League back.
Yeah. Just to round off the first week, I'd like to congratulate everyone who was involved in actually how the whole weekend went off. Look, I think from the point of view of the league itself, it's now becoming so professional that you're actually seeing not just top-class football, but you're actually seeing the game being presented the way that it should be. I love the idea that we have the game where the pitch is still sacrosanct. There's something about seeing the green grass, nice and level in most cases, but also the white lines. We don't have advertising on it like other particular codes do, and you can drop in and you're actually watching a top-class presentation of the game, and I think that's really to the credit of the A-League, so I think they've done an exceptional job doing that.
I was very impressed. Both Melbourne Victory and Sydney have introduced measures where they're not going to play intro music as they do with American sport at the start of the game. They're just going to let the fans sing.
That's a very interesting point, because I think one of the teams has decided to adopt the Bundesliga tradition of starting the player's name and then having the fans yell out their last name.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who it was, though. That's really awkward. And they've also a lot of teams have got online polls as to what songs will be played when goals are scored.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Good engagement. I always enjoy myself some numbers, but then the A-League had some fantastic ones on the weekend. Record aggregate crowd for the weekend, television numbers 25% up on last year, and you remember last year we had the hype around Harry Kuehl's debut, but record people viewing Foxtel, and I don't know if it was a record, but there were certainly a few people watching it at the pub that I was at on Sunday afternoon as well.
There was a pretty good international pickup from the Sydney game as well, so hopefully they can have a good season and all the matches they play are really exciting. Because they had a couple belters last year, those horrific losses, those terrifying draws. And if they can, you know, drum up some more international support, this might really kick off.
Totally agree with you. I think the crowd's certainly a very big plus. I think also the supporters, we actually saw people not just turning up, but they've been passionate. It's hard to go past the Melbourne Derby again, but the colour was terrific. I would have been ambivalent about the new Western Sydney strip, but I think the black and red is good. You've seen really good clash of colours there, so you're actually seeing a wonderful product being put forward, and I think that's super.
They had good atmosphere at
that
game.
Quite a few banners as well going around, lots of red in the crowd.
Having suffered through watching a lot of particularly Gold Coast games, but to an extent North Queensland as well, it's
nice to see fuller stadiums.
Nice to see, you know, people engaged and involved. Yeah, it was good. Ben Buckley would be very happy with those sort of numbers. As they're finalising their new TV deal.
Yeah. Anywho,
and perhaps David Gallup might be even happier.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Coming in at the right time.
Yep.
We're going to take a look towards this weekend now, with no international break affecting us, thank God. I can't imagine starting the season then having a week off. That would be horrible.
It is a very big game for the
supporters having
Socceroos.
A week off, not the players.
Big game for the Socceroos, though, against Iraq. Not quite must win, but certainly need to get a decent result, I think.
Totally agree with you. I think they're in a position now that they haven't been in for a while. So this is a real test of their character, a test of the coach, and a test of the individuals as well.
Yeah, I think it's a bit close to the first time we entered the Asian Cup. We're starting to think we're just assured to win every match that we play, even no matter how our team lines up, no matter who we're against, apart from Japan, obviously. But yeah, it's starting to look a bit worrying. So hopefully Holger can turn it around. This will be a good test to see how good a manager he is.
Fingers crossed. So, yeah, some big games coming up this week. On the Friday night one, Adelaide United versus West Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah, you can't go past a Friday night in Adelaide. That's always a really good atmosphere. And despite the fact that Adelaide did bomb out of the ACL, I think the fans are going to turn out in force. Adelaide's going to be really keen to keep going with this start to the season that they've had.
Do you know whether or not this format's actually replicated to this season, where we have the one game on the Friday night, the two on the Saturday, and the two on the Sunday? Does that carry through?
I think that's probably going to be the case for most of it, although they might try and squeeze in three games on a Sunday, so like they might have the early New Zealand kickoff, then the Sydney kickoff, and then the Perth kickoff. That's what they have done in the past. Depends on really what Fox Sports has laid out with the FFA, I think.
I've got to say, I think there really is a difference between an afternoon game and an evening game, so it's good that they've kept both there as well, not just simply the matter of whether or not you're taking children or whatnot, but I've always felt that night football is something special, so it's good that they've kept that.
Mm. Yeah, the 5 o'clock games, I think that's a good time for families, because you could take the kids and still get them home at a reasonable hour.
Yep, dead right. But also to remember that we are playing through the summer.
Absolutely. Some places like Perth, very challenging to play in the afternoon. I like Adelaide in this game.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Adelaide here. The battle hardened Adelaide United to roll over Western Sydney.
I'm not one to pick results, but so I'll just say, look, it's the first game at Hyde Marsh. 17,000 can get there. I'm just hoping it's full.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be full, but I think it'll be fun. Mm. Sydney and Newcastle, first home game for the Del Pieros.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good crowd, hopefully, and I think Sydney will rise to the occasion.
I hope so.
Either that, or we'll see Emil Heskey shoulder barge Del Piero, they'll both go off injured and everyone will leave after 20 minutes.
I seriously question whether Del Piero would be capable of injuring Heskey.
Heskey injuring Del Piero.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's good. That could certainly happen. Heskey didn't look out of shape, but he is a large human being. He's got some shoulders on him like nothing else. I just hope it's a cracker, this one. High standard, high scoring, big crowd.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I think if it's an open game and the crowd, even though we're trying to create some partisanship here, if it's an open game and it runs, listen, the neutral's the winner.
Yep, yep. And speaking of another really good game, Brisbane Roar versus Melbourne Victory there.
So, Brisbane Roar, two grudge matches in a row. So, the grand final rematch last week, and this one, the return of the former master, Andrew Postecoglou's victory visiting Suncorp.
Two teams playing, attempting to play very similar styles, and fascinating to see who executes it more effectively. I think Melbourne Victory still have some major concerns at defence.
Like, their defence is
so we're expecting goals.
We're expecting goals. I mean, absolutely.
Regardless of whenever these two sides have played in the A-League, it's been a good free-scoring affair. So I think we're going to see I reckon a 3-2 win to Brisbane.
Yeah. I'm starting Brisher as the captain of my fantasy A-League team. Like, he's the centre of that defence just was cavernous at times. Lawrence Thomas, he's not completely convincing, but he was just given no chance on the two Melbourne Heart goals on the weekend.
Okay.
I'm not convinced by Victory yet. I'm imagining the home result there. I think it'll be a couple of weeks yet before we get Flores playing at his best, and I think he's critical to the way that Victory play.
Yep. Melbourne Heart and the Phoenix, two of the surprise packets from round one down at Amy Park, should be a good game.
Yeah,
Sunday afternoon, the only game in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Interesting to see.
Yeah, you've definitely got to take Melbourne Heart here. Wellington on the road, they're never really that great. Missing a lot of international players.
Squad, yep.
I really think the Heart's going to run away with this one.
Nailed on home win?
Yeah, I reckon 3-0 is definitely a possibility.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but yeah, Dylan McAllister, where did that come from?
Yeah, I'm really annoyed because he played with the Mariners for a season or two, and he was woeful. Like, he started off well, then...
Well, their Croatian import, I think it's Tadic.
Joseph Tadic,
yeah. He kept Berisha on the bench when they played on the same team in the Bundesliga. Like, he's a seriously well-credentialed player, and they've kept him on the bench, and Dylan McAllister's delivering the goods.
Aloisi to win his first game away, now to win his first game at home.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't really call last week much of an away game, but either way, two in a row to start your career is not too bad.
It's pretty impressive. Central Coast Mariners playing host to Perth Glory. Nick, how are you feeling?
I'm really keen to see some live football. Oh, it's been so long. I haven't actually seen a match since January of this year in live, which is... It's going to be great.
No, hopefully, Nick, it's not actually seeing the game, Nick. It's feeling the game. Yeah. That's what being there is about.
Hopefully we can produce a result to my expectations, which is a win. But I'm not too convinced. Perth were very good, and I think they've got the mental advantage after last season.
It'll be interesting to see how Ferguson sets his side up away from home. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's a score draw.
Mm. They're a very mature lineup. They... had on the weekend, which is a bit disappointing. I like some of the Perth youngsters, but yeah,
Has anyone heard about Kaz Batafta possibly playing for the Perth Glory?
No, I haven't.
Because someone who actually goes to school with his brother here in Canberra said that they had been signed by the Glory. Nice.
Hmm.
I was a bit down. I was a bit confused. I checked Wikipedia straight away. I didn't really see any sign there. But, yeah, it's a story to keep an eye out for. Hopefully he can resurrect his career, because he started off with so much promise.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see Chris Harold wasn't in the team for Perth. I liked him last year with Gold Coast, and Jesse Macaroonis missed out as well, too.
Mm. Hopefully they'll get their chance when the season comes along. But anyway, just before we quickly finish up the show, code for the Fantasy A-League. So, for those of you who haven't signed up to our Fantasy A-League, I haven't actually made my team yet, so I've missed the last week's round of points, which is really annoying. I can't really afford to give you guys a head start after last season's effort. But the code for the league is 1303-300.
And it's called Rhyme Time.
Yep.
It was a very, very competitive league last year.
Okay, and thank you for joining us on the Near Post. And if you're going to go to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there.